I'm going to read our scripture today. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 and 9 through 11. If you would please stand for the reading of the word. Listen now for God's word to you. Therefore, since the promise that we can enter into rest is still open, let's be careful that none of you will appear to miss it. We also had the good news preached to us, just as the Israelites did. However, the message they heard didn't help them because they weren't united in faith with the ones who listened to it. We who have faith are entering the rest, as God said, and because of my anger, I swore they will never enter into my rest. And yet, God's works were completed at the foundation of the world. Then somewhere he said this about the seventh day of creation. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So you see that a Sabbath rest is left open for God's people. The one who entered God's rest also rested from his own works, just as God rested from his own. Therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Each year in the fall, pastors are required to meet with their supervisors, who are the district superintendents. In the church structure, the district superintendent is my supervisor. He represents the bishop of the Iowa Annual Conference, and they share this information with each other. The meeting is meant to voice concerns and to celebrate some joys, discuss any issues. And in the fall of 2015, Kaboko is, by the way, our district superintendent. He asked me this question. He said, "What are you doing to connect with Jesus on a personal level? Well, I hemmed and hawed, and then I realized that I didn't have an answer. That was a problem, right? That's a problem when you don't have an answer like that. In other words, I wasn't doing anything to connect with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize how devastating that is for a pastor to not be connecting with Jesus, right? We're supposed to set the example for the church. And that was a devastating blow for me. And I wasn't really sure what to do next. He and I then discussed ways for me to find Sabbath rest, not just a day off, but Sabbath rest amid the busy schedule of pastoring two churches. So I was half-time at two churches, and then I did half-time youth ministry at a third church. And he said, "You really got to find time in all of those schedules to have some Sabbath rest, to connect with Jesus at an intimate level. Because without this connection, without this personal time with Jesus, I knew that already my preaching was becoming hollow. I knew that my ability to provide pastoral care was starting to falter. And I knew for sure my own personal walk lacked substance. Today, as we discuss the need for Sabbath rest, consider where you are in your walk with Jesus. What would your answer be to the question, what do you do daily or often to connect with Jesus at a personal level? Can you actually answer that question? Or are you hemming and hawing and wondering, what am I doing? Oops, I'm not really doing anything. How much time do you spend with Jesus? Do you carve out time in your schedule to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what today's scripture is about in this letter to the Hebrew people. It's written to the early converts to Christianity because some of the first Christians were Jewish believers who converted to Christianity. And they were really having a hard time grasping what this whole Jesus thing was all about. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Because we had all these rituals in the Jewish synagogue and the Jewish faith. We had to do all these cleansing and the sacrifice. And so what does it really mean to follow Jesus? They didn't really understand what that meant. And they really didn't grasp that what it meant to have their long-awaited Messiah finally show up. And so one of the things they weren't doing that they should have continued from their Jewish belief days was continue to have Sabbath rest. They weren't spending time studying for themselves and praying. And I appreciate Dusty's sermon who said, Martin Luther said, everybody needs to sing. That's one way that we can enter into this personal relationship with Jesus is through our own song and our own singing. This letter written to the Hebrews was intended to understand the full extent to what Jesus came to be and Jesus came to do in the world. These people, these early Jewish converts, were potentially considering how they might turn back to their old ways, turn back to what it was like before they were a follower of Jesus. The rules were pretty laid out. It was pretty cut and dry. And it wasn't that way so much with Jesus. Their difficulties are not a lot different than if you remember the Israelites in Egypt, and Moses came in and took them out, right? Took them to the promised land eventually. And in that time from leaving Egypt to getting to the promised land, it was 40 years, wasn't the best of times, that's for sure. And these Israelites said, well, at least in Egypt we knew what we had. And they wanted to go back to those old ways, back to the oppression. These first converts were having that same kind of thought. Well, maybe if I just go back, at least I know what it's all about. We aren't much different from the Israelites who wanted to turn back to Egypt. We're not much different than these first converts to Christianity, because we're constantly tempted to go back to the way we were in our lives before we became a follower of Jesus, before we started putting Jesus as a priority in our daily lives. Just like it was in the time of Paul, we're constantly tempted to turn back, constantly tempted to turn away from Jesus. And yet Jesus promises ways to navigate the trials and the tribulations if we put our trust and guidance in Jesus Christ. The main problem since the time of those early followers is this. We maybe know about Jesus, but we really don't know him personally. Let me say that again. We know about Jesus. The stories are in the Bible. We hear about him at church. We sing about him. But we really don't know Jesus at a personal level. To be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ is not just to go through the motions. It's not just to take the knowledge that we have and, you know that we have it, but it's to take that knowledge of Jesus Christ that we find in Scripture and study and worship and take it to the heart level. Because until it gets to the heart level, it's not really ours to hold on to dearly in that intimacy with Jesus Christ. Devoted followers take all of that and put it to the heart. Christ doesn't want us sitting here in church out of obligation. I don't know if you know that or not. If you're here because you feel obliged to be here, that's not what Jesus Christ wants. Instead, he wants us here because we want to be here and want to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we do in worship, in our songs, and in our prayers, and in the sermon, and in all that we're about. We're hoping that each person goes deeper in their relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us go deeper. These last 6 weeks, last week we sort of spent 6 weeks pretty intentionally about prayer, a variety of different kinds of prayer. And then last Sunday we did an interactive learning about prayer. There was no traditional sermon, but instead the message came through a variety of different ways. For those that chose to stay last week and be a part of that worship experience, I realize that was a risk. I realize for some that wasn't overly comfortable. And your openness to allow God to guide you to take action for your faith has helped you then go deeper with Jesus Christ. I know not preaching a sermon is risky. I know that because that's what you pay for, you know? That's the reason you walk through the door, a lot of people. But not preaching a sermon last week, the benefits far outweighed the risk. For those that weren't here, or for those that were, in the gathering place there was a flurry of activity, prayer beads and prayer journals and walking in a labyrinth and a wooden labyrinth and prayer pretzels. And in here, there was silence. People lighting candles and kneeling at the kneeling bench. And the difference between the two rooms was vast. Flurry of activity and quiet and peace in here. And yet prayer was happening in both places. You could feel the Holy Spirit in this place, in the silence and in the intentional praying that was going on. Clearly, people were going deeper with the Lord. My friends, that's what Christ wants for us in our relationship. Christ wants us to go deeper in relationship with Him. But we can only do that if we pause in our busy schedules. I know we're all busy. When we spend intentional time with Jesus Christ. That's why numerous places in the Bible, it talks about having Sabbath rest, entering into Sabbath rest. In verses 9 and 10 in today's scripture, it says, "So you see that a Sabbath rest is left open for God's people. The one who entered God's rest also rested from his works, just as God rested from his own." In the creation story found in Genesis 1, we see a seven-day account of the creation of the world. And on the seventh day, what did God do? God rested, right? Scripture says, on the seventh day, God rested. And he didn't rest because God was tired. God doesn't get tired. But God rested so that we would have that example of working 6 days and resting on the seventh. He wanted to set a pattern for our worship, for our lives, for the way that we do things. That's why a seven-day work week went to a six-day work week in the United States, thanks to the United Methodist Women, by the way, just a sort of side caveat. They lobbied for a six-day work week so that on the seventh day people could rest. And they said, it's a biblical thing to do. You can't work people 7 days a week. And they actually advocated for a six-day work week because we're called to rest on the seventh day. When we take time for Sabbath rest, it allows Christ some space to enter into our lives. And when that happens, then we can walk a little closer with Jesus. To enter into Sabbath rest with Jesus is to experience Jesus' peace in our lives, even amid the busyness. Verse 11 says, "Therefore make every effort to enter that rest." It says that we're supposed to make effort. We need to carve out time to just be with Jesus. When I was growing up, I had this set of stationery. I did a lot of letter writing, you know, the old ways for children, pen, paper, and stamps, and addresses, and the mail. Mailman comes and all that, so those that aren't quite as young remember those days. And I had this stationery that says we are human beings, not human doings. Do you hear what that says? We are human beings, not human doings. And yet we spend our life doing. We try to do, and I gotta be careful with that, don't I? Oops. We can't do too much, or we don't have the time to be. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus wants us to be with him and not just do for him. Now, we serve because we want to serve. We serve as an outpouring of our faith. But if all we do is serve and do, we don't have the time to pause and be with Jesus. What does it mean to be with Christ? What does Sabbath rest look like? I don't know if you know or not, the traditional day for Sabbath for our Jewish brothers and sisters is Saturday. It actually starts at sundown on Friday, and it ends at sundown on Saturday. And Sabbath rest, in its most strict sense, means no work, no cooking, no driving. In the Bible, they talk about walking a Sabbath's walk, which was, there was like 3/10 of a mile was all you could walk on the Sabbath, because otherwise it was considered work. And no play, just focusing in on prayer and devotion and time with family. And devout people would follow that to the letter. In our Christian tradition, because of Easter, because of Jesus dying on Good Friday and being raised on the third day, which became Sunday, we have Sabbath on Sunday, which is why we worship on Sunday. And in our tradition, Sabbath was much the same way. Go to church, go to Sunday school, spend time with family, and rest. And people didn't work on Sunday. Stores weren't open on Sunday. Some of you may remember the times when there was no gas station open and no grocery store open. In my town, there was actually a grocery store that was open, but our church sort of discouraged us from frequenting it, you know, because you're supposed to have Sabbath rest and those people shouldn't have to work. It was a time of rest, a time to pause. And yet, what do Sundays look like now? Is Sunday the day we sort of ramp up for the rest of the week? If you have children, it's certainly the day, or if you're working a full-time job, it's the day you prepare for the next week to come. And Sunday, the paper's about this thick, right? The Des Moines Register's about this thick because it's full of what? Advertisements, right? Because all the news, all the sales start on Sunday, and so you got to go to Target or Walmart or wherever you need to go because you can get the best sales on Sunday, and everything's still there. So families head to the mall, they head to stores. We live in Coralville, and the Coralville Mall, Coral Ridge Mall, we don't like to go there on Sundays because it is the most packed on a Sunday. And then traveling sports teams for children and youth happen on Sundays often. It takes our young people out of Sunday school and kids choir and church. And even high schools have varsity practices on Saturday or Sunday evening and Sunday afternoon. My friends, what is the cost? What is the cost if we go 7 days a week without Sabbath rest? Because, you know, there is a cost for us. We tend to live a frazzled life, dominated by athletic and music practices, clubs and events. Whatever it is, we're going, 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 and we're not pausing. And we don't have that time to rejuvenate. We don't have that time to connect. And we live our life drained to the next activity. Spending intentional time with Christ can bring us a sense of peace, even amid the busy schedules that we have. Instead, Sunday comes around and we look at the calendar and go, oh gosh, next week doesn't look any better. Looks like a busy one. Society has taught us that if we want our young people to play high school sports, then they got to be in clubs. We've said that you gotta travel for all your teams. That's what society tells us for our young people. And they aren't getting Sabbath rest that they need. They aren't getting the time to just play and be and exist as children need to do. This busyness isn't just our families with young people. Lots of people are busy. And without intentionality, even as adults, we're going to miss our alone time with Christ if we don't just pause and find that time. Even folks that are retired may have time difficult time finding that intimate time with Christ. But what can we do in our busy schedules to find Sabbath? What can we do to pause with Jesus? Friday's my day off. If you actually look on by my door, it says Sabbath rest. Really try intentionally not to work. But there's often urgent emails. Sometimes I don't have my sermon done. More often than not, right, Dale? check in about things for worship. All of these things take time. And then pastoral care needs. All of that sort of gets in there. If I don't get my Friday Sabbath rest, I try to find it another time because I know that's important. I know it's important for me to not check email and not answer my phone and sort of get away from the things that bear in on me. each Sunday. So going back to my beginning story, throughout the week, when the district superintendent asked me what I'm doing to connect with Jesus at a personal level, I started carving out time every day. I start my day 30 to 90 minutes. I don't set a timer. It's just whatever the Spirit moves me. And I read some scripture, and I read some theologian stuff, and I pray, and I pause. And usually my dogs are with me. I think I've talked about that before. They like to sit with me when I do that. And I pause in the busyness, and I reconnect with Jesus. So that when I walk in the door here, and everything that barrages upon me, all the responsibilities, I'm better equipped to handle them because I've spent that time first with Jesus. And it allows me to know why I do the work that I do. I do that for Jesus. My friends, it's not going to happen unless there's some intentionality. And I invite you to look at your schedule and find out if you're like this, if you're on empty, if you need to refuel your life for Jesus Christ, spend some alone time. There are lots of opportunities for you to be in study in groups here, and there's opportunities for you to be intentional on your own. My hope is that you will find time as we head into this Lenten season to find time to get to know Jesus better. Let us pray. Holy and loving Lord, sometimes we come into this space and we're empty. We hope that in our worship and in our interactions with one another that we can be filled up so that we can go at life again. But worship isn't enough, Lord. We know that. We know that we each need individual time with you to get you to know you better and to allow you into our hearts at the deepest levels. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to pause in Sabbath rest. In your name we pray. Amen.